Like to introduce, I guess, our only speaker this morning. I'm going to turn the meeting over now to Dean.
After all, that's why I came down. I had to get the clap. My name's Dean, and I'm an addict.
Dean.
And that's about the God's honest truth, too. Because if I was using out there on the street and you fell in love, lust, or whatever it was, she always wanted half. Not out of my bag, it wasn't even. But there's a lot of messages in Narcotics Anonymous. I'm going to give you one. I lived it. You don't need to correct me. I actually did it. I was introduced to this program in the early spring of 1971. My recovery date is the 4th of July, 1974. I worked for Jimmy Kay at World Service Office. I was the RSR for the San Diego region when Narcotics Anonymous was formed the third time from 1953. That's who I am. Now I'm going to tell you about who I really am. I'm really an addict. And I belong in this program because I got nowhere else to go. I'm standing up here now looking at most of you like I'm Out West American Cowboy. Well, before you had Out West American Cowboys, you had East Coast Cowboys, okay? They didn't come here, get off the boat, and take a plane out to L.A. I got sober and clean in San Diego, but I am what I am today. I have my own little horse ranch. I have my own income. I'm self-supporting through my own contributions. I don't need to borrow from you. And that fills my life full of a lot of hope. Because when I first came to Narcotics Anonymous, there were no traditions. It was every man for himself. They'd pass the basket around a room, it'd go out the back door. You know, we'd be chasing the basket down a goddamn street. You know, right, hey! That was life in the streets. You know, the only reason we have midnight meetings on weekends is, you know, if you couldn't score in the 8:30 meeting, you went to the midnight meeting. Hopefully it got better, you know. Sometimes it did. So I'd look at any chick in the room and go, come on, honey, you got to give it away to keep it. Yeah. I was so goddamn lonely. Yeah. She just got it. I was so goddamn lonely, I would go to a telephone booth to try to read the messages off the side. You know, call Cheryl, she gives good, you know. And then I'd call the numbers to see if they worked. But what we do know about Narcotics Anonymous history is that we really don't have one. A lot of people have tried at it. I can drop a few names if you'd like. It won't do you any good. I can drop a couple of names. We need to put one together. What it's really about is somewhere back somewhere at some time, 1947, a group got together in New York, and formed a club, an association. They found a different way of life. They didn't bother to use steps. They were going to do it another way. They patterned themselves after another fellowship, after Alcoholics Anonymous. We're not original. We ripped off the steps too. You know, when I got here, there were no traditions. We had to borrow them from Alcoholics Anonymous and recreate them. And in New York, they didn't even do that. They just went at it with what was best that they could do. Placed down in Tennessee, then in Kentucky, they built a federal prison. Somewhat after the Savannah Project. And if you were a drug addict in the 1930s, 1940s, that's where you went for recovery. There weren't any halfway houses or no hand slaps. It was 15 years for simple possession of a felony fall. So your recovery took place. We're going to give you discipline. Now, if you've ever been to the penitentiary, that's what they're going to give you, discipline. You get up at 5:30, you go to bed, it's lights out. That's the way, that's the routine. Whether at least you're in prison. If those of you came to us from a hospital, you know what it felt like when that woman walked into your room and goes, hi, how are we doing today? You know, what, are you pregnant? You usually had another word after that to describe her, but you know, subject from that, that was the only avenue we had. My sponsor, and I'm gonna drop some names. Now, the names I'm going to drop, most of them are dead. And most of them died clean and sober. Don Zeiler was my first sponsor. I was actually 12-step into Narcotics Anonymous by a guy named Motorcycle Ray. He wasn't too well educated. He'd walk around in meetings of Los Angeles going, "Spell now backwards," as if this was a mental challenge. And actually, it works, believe it or not. But Don Zeiler originally got sober in 1947 in a group in San Diego where I got sober and clean, because that's the way it worked back then. He actually went through, he was hooked, the government, as I was. I'm a retired United States Marine. They managed to let me retire with honor and dignity. I'm a 3-time combat veteran. Thank you very much. And they said, "Thank you for your life. See ya." And gave me a bottle of Thorazine. Well, since I love Thorazine and it made you a lot more interesting, we had a good thing going there for a while until I met up with this guy named Don Zeiler. And Don was actually my first sponsor. And he got clean the first time in 1947 in another group. And he was hooked on morphine pretty bad. They hooked him coming out of a VA hospital. And there's a lot of newcomers in these meetings that were actually hooked from a VA hospital. And that's the way the system works. That's the way it works. So we went on from there. 1947 in San Diego, it's sort of like my recovery. When I tried to get clean in 1971, it wasn't going. I was 24 years old. You could have shoved a garden hose up my anal cavity. I wasn't getting clean. There was nothing that was going to work on me. So remember that when you 12-step somebody else, when you go out and carry the message. There was nothing that was going to work on me when I was 24 years old. When I was 28 years old and made my own decision that I needed to come back to Narcotics Anonymous, that's when it happened. And it happened very well. But back to Don's story. In 47, we had this San Diego group that formed. It was a great group. Went in and out of a lot of different names. It had a lot of different purposes. It had a lot of different reasons. Did anybody stay clean and sober? Not really. No, not until long, many years after that. Many, many years after that. It was, nobody cared except the federal penitentiary system. They needed jobs. We were addicts. They put us in. We got out. We did it again. What's the first thing you're doing to do when you get out? Wine, women, and song, not necessarily in that order. And you wound up going back in. We created an entire industry. And that's the way the world worked until some folks got together and said, "We got to create this thing called Narcotics Anonymous." Well, they didn't call it Narcotics Anonymous. They called it something else. But I'm going to make the story short, because I really don't want to babble you through a lot of that craziness, because there wasn't anything going on. There was HCD, there's HCF, New York had another group, Maryland really had nothing, Kentucky, Tennessee had a group, San Diego had a group. Nothing seemed to work until we wound up stealing the 12 steps from Alcoholics Anonymous and modifying them. Several years later, we went ahead and copyrighted them after we changed a few words around, as we did the same thing with the traditions. So the NA that you actually know here was actually really, by virtue of extenuating circumstances, was created in 1968. The NA that you came from was actually created in 1953. A bunch of people got together. San Fernando Valley Group got together. It was going to be the San Fernando Valley Group of AA's NA meeting. And immediately, no, you can't do that. So that was changed around. Didn't work. Jimmy Kay had something to do with it. He was involved. He was involved because a guy named Chuck Skinner said, "You got to do it." You see, because in the state of California, you can't sign the letters of incorporation for Type S or any corporation if you're a convicted felon. The only person they had in the room that wasn't a convicted felon was Jimmy Kay. He was an alcoholic who had lost his way. He was living on Social Security disability insurance. He had nothing better to do, and he felt sorry for his friend Chuck Skinner. So he decided to take the plunge, and he did. And from that day forward, after they signed the minutes in the first organizational chart, welcome to Narcotics Anonymous. It's the best that we can do, and it really is. Look at it today. When I first got to meetings in 19... 1971, and then again in 1974. You had to go to the third alley on the left, knock on the second door, tell them Sam sent you. Today, they're in telephone books, they're the hotlines, 1-800 numbers, they're all over the place. Today, there's over 1,000 meetings in Baltimore alone. When I first came back to Baltimore in December of 1980, there were only 3 meetings, and only like 3 or 4 or 5 of us staying clean. There was only 1 in the district that I was aware of. You know, so everything you see around you today has occurred since then. It's not a bad message, and it really is not a bad way to go. And from that humble beginning became what you know today as Narcotics Anonymous. Now, there's been a lot of personalities involved, and that's what made NA work. Most of it is a result of anger and arrogance, but there were a few of us that stayed. I got angered and I got arrogant, and I walked in December of 1980 when Jimmy Kay threw me out of the World Service Office. He did it for a reason, and I don't begrudge him, because we went to the convention floor and I said, NA has grown of age. It is time for us to have a basic text. And I raised my hand as the RSR from San Diego and made that motion. He never, ever forgave me for that. Threw an eraser at me across the floor for some, I guess, I'm going to wipe your ass out. Threw an eraser at me, and, I'm sorry, Jimmy. And he immediately turned around to a guy named Greg Pierce, who said, the motion is good, it's solid. They voted it, and we wound up with an NA basic text 4 years later in the writing. Because when I got here, all we had was a little white book. In fact, that's the trivia question of the day. In the little white book, it tells us you need to have an honest desire to stay clean. When did they take the word honest out? You got to have an honest desire to stay clean. That word's been removed from our literature. I had a lot of things coming into Narcotics Anonymous, but an honest desire was not one of them, unless it was to get laid. And there wasn't any chick in the room going to take on that job, I'll tell you. Can you imagine me being 80 pounds lighter with pimples? Well, I had hair then, but that's why I wear a hat. Got something to catch hair in. You just keep walking along with this program, and this program lives. So you're actually living a program that's still working. We're still under construction, and we're doing okay. Jimmy Kay had the World Service Office. We really didn't have a whole lot of conventions. There's more people in this room right now than there was in the first World Convention. I wanted to be the first World Convention chairman, first literature chairman. And, of course, after I stuck a knife in Jimmy's back, he decided he wasn't. Well, that's the way he viewed it. When that happened, that was it. I was done. Finished. Vamos. Go. No, I still stayed on as RSR for San Diego for a little while longer. I worked in the L.A. region. I wrote a lot of Jimmy's material. Jimmy would do presentations and things like that. I wrote his material. I was the pre-NA way. I am a professional writer by standard. I wrote a lot of books for the government of the United States, and I just carried that little talent on with me. I do pretty well at it, or at least I do okay at it, and I remember that's one of the horrible parts of my recovery. And it took me almost 20-some years to be able to admit it. When I first got clean, my sponsor's ex-wife threw him out of the house. She was tired of him. You know, he had to go. And I had to save my sponsor's ass, which kind of pissed me off because I needed him to save my life. So we got a van. I don't know how we got it, but I got it on credit, and I managed to swing the deal and drove by and picked my sponsor up crying with all these, "Where are you going to go? What are we going to do?" I wrote 3 porno books and sold them for $300 a piece. We made $900. That was our first apartment. He died in that apartment 15 years later, 10, 15 years later, with part of the NA archives in his possession. And another name I'll drop is a guy named Bo Sewell, at the request of Don's ex-wife, went into the apartment, took all the NA literature, and took it back to Alabama. So if you want to go, or Georgia, wherever he put it, I think it's either in Alabama or Georgia. So if you want to see any of those documents, you got to go there. But that's actually the beginnings of our history, because remember, my sponsor, Don Zeiler, came to this program, what was this program, in 1947. So all those different little groups that banged around, all that literature and that information schedule sheet is sitting down there under glass. Doesn't do us a lot of good, and it's not who we are today anyway. But it's nice to know. It would be nice to have, and it'd be nice if we could get it back out into circulation, or at least reprint it, because some of the conference notes that you have are in Jimmy's handwriting for meetings that Jimmy didn't even attend. So we're not even going to get into that, but let's just say we kept moving. Narcotics Anonymous has never lost steam. Look at you. The room's full of people. It never lost steam. It kept going. Greg Pierce was his right-hand man. I used to go to meetings with them, Greg and Jimmy both. And when Greg wrote the original N.A. Tree, I thought it was our first service structure. I thought it was the greatest thing I'd ever read. And Jimmy didn't like it, so out it went. Jimmy had some quirks. He had some funny things about him. And one of the things about him was he didn't like Mexicans. And if you were a Mexican-American, come on, he's living in Los Angeles, folks. You got to have some. Everybody's got somebody to hate in Los Angeles. I mean, there's five gangs running around there now. They even got a TV series about it. I'm thinking about getting a tattoo myself. But that's the way it was. Jimmy hated Mexican-Americans. And that came to light later when all of a sudden you see NA World Service and then you see a East L.A. Meetings. What the hell is this? East L.A. Meetings of Narcotics Anonymous. They never joined in until later, until a guy named Bob Stone came into the World Service. And there were some other things that happened that occurred. We decided we would take the telephones out of Jimmy's house and we'd move the World Service office, which was in the back of his station wagon, relocated into Jimmy's garage, which we had to pay rent for. And we finally stood up on our own and at a World Service conference voted to take the records, the archives, from Jimmy and put them into a World Service office, which is what we did. But we couldn't do that willingly because Jimmy wouldn't let go of it. So one night when he went to a meeting, the lock on the garage door was cut and the records were removed and all the NA property was removed to the new office. Who did it? I've been blamed for it for the last 20 years, but I wasn't even in town. That's how we got the records over there. Shortly thereafter, we hired an office manager, a guy named Bob Stone, who later died of cancer. For those of you who think Bob Stone didn't know what he was doing, who, by the way, wrote a book, he took a $9,000 a year nonprofit corporation called Narcotics Anonymous and made it a $9 million producing organization in less than 10 years. And they said to him, "We're not going to put you back in." Didn't like him. And they got him out. Because there were still those hands underneath the table. Everybody wanted to work their bolt. And through all of that, we've still managed to stay clean, stay sober, and write our own literature. I recommend a lot of literature. Greg did write a piece of literature called The Triangle of Self-Obsession. Greatest piece of literature in Narcotics Anonymous. If you haven't read it, read it. Give it to all your newcomers. Have it tattooed on the inside of your eyelids. It will work for you. As is the case of the traditions, they'll work for you. We have them now, and they work real well. My favorite piece of literature in Narcotics Anonymous isn't our basic text, and that's the one I brought to the floor. It works how and why. I love it. It's the greatest book. In fact, if I sponsor you, that's the one you're going to do. You'll deal with that book right up front, close and personal. I'll even read it to you over the phone when you call me at 4 o'clock in the morning. Has anybody sponsor people in here besides me? At 4 o'clock in the morning when your phone rings and he says, it's never, "My God has abandoned me," or "My second step doesn't work." All I ever get at 4 a.m. is, "Do you know who she's with?" No, and I don't care. You can tell all the newcomer guys in a meeting of Narcotics Anonymous. They're the ones with the mud stains on their knees from peeping in the window. Give it up. This is not Relationships Anonymous. I don't know how to... I've been married for 23 years. I got 3 kids, and all of them are older than my anniversary. Obviously not by the same woman either. But she tolerates me. We just put 1,500 pounds of steer beef in the freezer. She better love me, because I cook. But that's the way it goes. That's how it happens in Narcotics Anonymous. It keeps moving on. We need a lot more literature. And we need to break the barriers of the old days to bring out the new. When you got an East-West issue, in fact, we were just talking about the East-West issue on the way down. The East Coast has decided, like in 1981, Philadelphia says, we're going to be NA because we've never heard of West Coast NA. And they're going to start NA. Until I called them up and said, wait a minute, you got an NA. It's registered. It has a trademark. And it's over in California. Gave them their telephone number. Boy, I broke their hearts. They wouldn't talk to me for years. I don't think some of them are still going to yet to talk to me. And then Philadelphia joined up with New York and created their own subsection, and Maryland just sort of fit in with D.C., and we're addicts. We need our primary purpose. And Florida and Alabama and all that sort of joined together, and eventually all of them linked up and created an East Coast block. While we're working on that, Bob Stone's been busy back there in California, and he's managed to pull in San Diego, which was actually the heart of Narcotics Anonymous, linked it to L.A., brought in East L.A., and San Francisco moseyed down to join the parade. And we all had a good time out west. And Narcotics Anonymous came together in about 1983 and made us whole. And from that point on, it's been anybody's guess as to where we're going to go. And we've got some good literature. We got a basic text now. We're of age. We got it works how and why. Now we have an inventory guide. If I had to do that inventory guide, I don't think I'd have made it. I don't. It got into sexual addictions, and this is it for me, baby. You guys have trouble relationships and sex and all that. I had no problem whatsoever. I got stoned, and I missed it. If I fell in love, she was not getting half the bag, I'm telling you. If she had it, we used it. But I never had any. So, and I had a hell of a good connection, too. But what do you expect from somebody that was in love with Thorazine? I went to college on speed. Can you imagine that? I went to Chaminade College and did a 4-year degree. I was going to be a priest. Went right up to where I had to take the vows, 2 years of canon law. I could have been a priest. Can you, Father Dean, will you hear my confession? I took my first 5th step with a Catholic priest. I walked in and said, Father, forgive me for I have sinned. It's been 22 years since my last confession. All I heard was, oh, shit. I dropped so much speed going to college that I wasn't the smartest kid in that college, but I was the fastest. Lou tells a joke on me all the time. I am a product of that age, and LSD was a number one seller in my neighborhood. And I did every bit of LSD. I didn't want to pray to God. I wanted to talk to him face to face. It was this giraffe thing had pissed me off for the last time. When I got to Narcotics Anonymous, I was ready. When Don Zeiler brought me into NA, I was ready. And I hooked up with a chick named Monty Sue. And Monty Sue and I did a little dog and pony show. I was one of the first speakers in Narcotics Anonymous to do a panorama. We had a hell of a good time. I loved it until the time ran out. I had another guy named Bobby Earl who contributed quite a bit to Narcotics Anonymous until Jimmy Kay got rid of him. He created the first NA halfway house in Pasadena, California, and had it licensed under the law. It was legal. Everything, the front steps, doorbell, everything, it worked. He created that, but there seemed to be a problem when his wife and 3 kids died in the Cadillac convertible. And they never did. He ran over into Alcoholics Anonymous. And there he stayed for many years. He'd been married 8 times and was selling vitamins from the podium the last time I'd seen or heard from him, until recently when I got a call from a recovery house in Reno, Nevada, that he had been admitted. The police had just arrested him with 175 scripts. Don't do your first step. and you can enjoy that story. The fifth step is, I'm a professional fifth stepper. I've done that sucker six times, baby. I know how to do it. I did my first fifth step with one of my first sponsors. It was a woman, by the way. I wasn't going to cop to no man. Baby. No, I picked a woman as a sponsor back there, 1975, Barbara Nuffer, God love her, and she was an English teacher. She graded my first fifth step, by the fourth step. If anybody asks, I got a C++ in NA, and she was a nymphomaniac. I loved her. she had to throw me out, though. She had her eye on a couple of other guys, and so I took the, you know, but I did, I actually, she told me my first fifth step read like Portnoy's Complaint. But it came out later that what it really was about. If you don't do that fifth step, I don't care how much time you've got. If you don't do that fifth step, you're going to be history. And I don't mean NA history. Because that's, Bobby Earle was very prolific in this program. He pitched this program. He went high, low, east, west, just to present this program and wound up, see you later. My sponsor today is a guy named Serenity Sam. Did I tell you I had a sponsor and I got 30 years of recovery? Over 30 years? My sponsor today is a guy named Serenity Sam. When you get clean and sober in 1959, when you open your mouth, everybody better be listening. And I did. I worshiped at his throne. And I love him dearly. I still call him occasionally. I don't call him every day. I certainly don't call him at 2 o'clock in the morning. Do you know who she's with? You know, but I still call him. I still need that. He was involved in Narcotics Anonymous, carried through from 1957 on up. In fact, he just started two new meetings in Richmond, Indiana. That's an adventure. But he started two new meetings in Richmond, Indiana. And one meeting, he's completely off the wall, okay? They got so mad at people walking around. There's a difference, and let me tell you the difference. Religion is for people who are afraid to go to hell or who don't want to go to hell. A spiritual program is for those of us that have already been there. Okay, the Dalai Lama is religious. The Pope is religious. What I got inside of me, I can't take out and hand to you. If you want what I got, you got to go get it yourself. That's the way the program works. That's why we need more literature. We need to get more history. We need to get more people involved. Go out and get some of these old cranky son of a guns before they die. You know, Chuck Skinner's gone. He's gone. There's another of our people that brought it together. But in 68, when we brought Narcotics Anonymous, when we married Narcotics Anonymous together, East Coast to West Coast, and that meeting was pretty horrific. One of the members of this room was there. You know, when I first went to the World Service Conference, it was, my God's better than your God. My God's better than your God. I mean, you wind up on the other side of a table. We did that. That's the way it worked. Unfortunately, because we didn't know what the hell we were doing. In 68, when those two coasts got together at that convention and it all stopped and they voted, it all changed over and you see the result. Well, you are the result. Just keep coming back. Keep working it. Bring it up. Narcotics Anonymous has got a long way to grow, but it's come a long way. Do you really need to know all of that? The who struck John, this one said that, that one said this. It's not really important. Some of it is. Some of it you should know. You should certainly know some of the personalities because there were more people than Jimmy Kay and Greg Pierce, both of them. And I knew both of them. We had the first Alano Club there, or first Noronon Club there in Los Angeles in Burbank. It was a converted gas station. That was as good as it got for us. But it worked. It was in full operation in 1975. You could buy a coffee mug for $5 and go to a meeting. Welcome to Narcotics Anonymous. It works. It works how and why. Honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. We never let go of our basic principles. But as we grow today, you got to know where you come from. You got to be able to do that history in your own on the fifth step. And you got to be able to carry it forward to the newcomer. Because if you don't, who's going to? The newcomer needs it. It ain't about you anymore. If you've surrendered and given it up to God, it ain't about you anymore. I got to give it away to keep it. Just like I was used to tell them girls in that meeting, you got to give it away to keep it, honey. They didn't believe me either. You got to give it away to keep it. Just keep coming back and build the history as it goes along. Today, we're very affluent. Are we getting back into a bottleneck? I think so. The last couple of years, I think we've hit a bottleneck where people have come together and there's no way out. How do we grow? All the old bastards except me are dead, pretty much. There's a couple of others. There's Bo Sewell's moved out to Colorado or wherever it is. I think it's Colorado. I have him by a couple of months. One of the things that our history does is it reminds us all, only newcomers ever challenge me. They'll get up and say, I want quality, not quantity. And you don't get quantity without quality, and you don't get quality without quantity. Keep coming back. That stuff needs to be in your history. You need to know that and carry it through. There ain't nobody special in the meeting of Narcotics Anonymous. We're all drug addicts. We're all drug addicts. And I really would like to turn it over to you and ask you if you have a question about the history of Narcotics Anonymous, because the only history you're going to get is the one that Bo Sewell's put on the board. You might get one. Bo is, by the way, still alive. You might get one. You get the academic version from NA World Service Office. But there's a lot more to it. There's a lot more pain, a lot more lives. And unfortunately, if you look around this room, they tell me only one out of 13 ever makes it. You're the one that made it. What happened to the other 13? There's a lot of anger and anxiety in this room. You don't really... I've had people challenge me, well, were you really there? Well, if you go back into the archives, you'll find that my name appears in the regional RSR. I did the motions on the floor. It's been recorded. I was also the first secretary treasurer of an organization called Chapter 5 Motorcycle Club. I did their bylaws. That's also on record. I don't need to tell you all of that. I just did, but I really don't need to say. It's all verifiable. It's all true. It's all real. It's all alive. You sitting there makes it even more alive. Well, what are you going to do about that for the next guy that comes to the door? Bring it back and let it happen. So I'm going to open the floor to any of you if you have a question. And they put their hands down as soon as they recognize the girls. And if you have a question about Narcotics Anonymous, and I can answer that question, I'll be glad to do it for you. Any questions? Yes, sir. No, sir. You're just stretching. When did they take the word honesty out of the white book? And my copy that was copyrighted by Karina, C-A-R-E-N-A, which was our publication guide at that time, there was money to be made in N.A., which is part of the problem, and it had to do with the white book and then the basic text. Karina never did take the white book until World Service Literature Committee took over the literature. It wasn't removed till after 1976. The white book originally... the original white book came out somewhere around 57 and was revised and has been revised several times. The one that I have came out in 72. The traditions were written that we have. The traditions were written by Bill Wilson and were copyrighted in 1953. We carried them over into our program shortly thereafter. And to dispel another rumor, it was alleged that somebody got on a telephone and just, like Mohammed recited the Talmud to his faithful, this particular person in NA recited the entire, that didn't happen. Okay, the 12 steps, the 12 traditions were there in writing. We changed a few words around and the amplification was added later. My particular preference is in it works how and why, not the original cut version. If you, I brought it, if you... This was your first basic text to be approved, and it still carries the word honest in it. And the little white book, which I also have, my edition's copyright 1976, still has the word honest in it. It was removed 2 years later. We copyrighted, the original copyright was done before me. I did a copyright. One of the people that's missing in Narcotics Anonymous legacy is a girl named Chris. She was an attorney. She did most of the foreign translation work. She did almost all of the copyright. I would do the motions up, and she, as the attorney, would submit them to the court, and it was approved. That was The steps were finally finalized with Alcoholics Anonymous. We is in front of every step. These steps. When did they change the word? I honestly can't. Yes, when we copyrighted it. We added the word we to every step, and we changed the argument about those to these. Yes, when we finally copyrighted them. The copyright was actually finished by Bob Stone and his group as a professional organization of Narcotics Anonymous. Yes, sir. Jimmy.
The book Miracles Happen, is that pretty accurate?
I don't know. I really haven't read it. I've seen it and I've looked through part of it. I really haven't read it. It's the generic version. You get Jimmy Kay and Greg Pierce. There's a lot more people in Narcotics Anonymous than Jimmy Kay and Greg Pierce, especially since I was the one that was ghostwriting for Jimmy Kay. Yeah, there were somebody came to a Narcotics Anonymous meeting and passed out excerpts from. There's so much argument over whether Jimmy really signed some of those things. There's arguments over whether he really attended that. There's a lot of argument. When he would go to meetings, he would write stuff down, go home and transcribe it, and that's the way it happened, and that's not the way it happened at all. A lot of that happened. I really don't know and cannot discern one from the other whether this particular piece was right or wrong. Haven't read the book, Miracles Happen. I've saw it. Mike brought me a copy of it. It's an excellent piece of work, but I really haven't read the thing. I stick with you and then you. Yes, sir.
Have you ever seen the videos that those white put out, so Jimmy Kay had of the tour of the early office, or kind of something part, and they had the Survivors Club too from early? Are they
well,
still available? I mean, I have a copy.
I don't have the videos, and I wouldn't really. I know where his station wagon is. That's where the first WC was. I know where his garage is. That's the building I worked out of. And then I know where Jack Durer lived right next door, whom Jack, unfortunately, with over 40 years in the program, never ever put more than 2 years together. I love the guy. You'd invite him into your house. He'd take all the medicine in your medicine chest, and most of it female medication. He's had nothing but problems with women ever since, but it's a... I did the same thing, and I shouldn't get another stomach cramp till the year 2011. Yes, sir. I love four-letter words. I love four-letter words because newcomers really can't identify to, oh, gee whiz, got started. You know, I sat in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous with the Bens leaning over, and some old bastard, old guy come over to me and said, easy does it. I almost killed him. It's a bitch when you're dope sick and drunk at the same time trying to get well and somebody wants to patronize you. You need another addict. Say, come on, brother. Come on. Walk with me. Talk with me. Here's coffee. Eat a banana. Get him milk. I love four-letter words, especially love, hope, and care. Lust and like will come later. Love is on down the road. Now, as far as clarity, that's the way addicts are. That's what I personally believe. I have never met a newcomer who wanted to thrill me with his vocabulary. Most of them couldn't even talk, much like myself. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm asking Joel.
Joel.
You described how Jimmy didn't agree with your original motion.
Threw an eraser at me. I guess that would be a...
I was curious why. What was his argument at that time?
You had to ask that question, didn't you? Okay, I'll answer it. He wanted to print it for himself, and he was hiring. There is an NAAA tradition violations go to hell commune in the state of Arizona, a commune. There was a woman writer there who was allegedly better than I was, and he offered her a lot of money out of the NA Treasury to write the first basic text. When I brought the motion to the floor, because I'm a born-again asshole, I took it out of his hands and gave it back to Narcotics Anonymous. And it's probably, I didn't want him to do that. I wanted the people in Narcotics Anonymous to share and relate and identify. And an NA text written by a member of Alcoholics Anonymous out of an AANA commune just didn't, I couldn't. I wanted to write it, that's true. But he took care of that because I wanted to be on the world, I was up for the World Service Literature Committee. He threw me out and put wheelchair Mark in that place instead. But I got to be honest, you know, if assholism is all I got, the last time I went to the doctor, they've been removing tumors for me for the last 20 years. So I'm a perfect asshole, and let's go get them, you know. I'm not going to say get her done because I ain't a redneck, and I have trouble with rednecks. And I live in a redneck neighborhood. I raise horses for a living and sell cattle. Yes, sir. Well, let me put it this way. Narcotics Anonymous was third in the row. You already had Overeaters Anonymous and Gamblers Anonymous. So when we showed up on the picture after 1953 and requested permission from Alcoholics Anonymous to modify their steps, the deal that was cut was, yes, you can use them. You may modify them to a degree. If we approve them, that's okay. The traditions came later. But we couldn't get one without the other, but that took a couple of years. In fact, one of the members in the room has some of the letters from Bill Wilson to Jimmy with regard to the... Jimmy was a good figurehead. Jimmy worked well for us. He just wanted to work a little weller than I would have liked him to work. Greg worked well with us, but there was absolutely no... Wilson was fine with it. Smith was already dead. He was dead in 55. So, I mean, I don't know where Wilson was fine. I mean, Wilson took more drugs than some of us. There was no controversy, no open controversy between the two programs. From Grand Central Station is now, there may be, but Grand Central, I don't know what's transpired after 1981 with regard to copyright provision. Yes, sir.
Hey, John.
Did you know the relationship between Danny Carlson and Jimmy Kinnon and Name Archives Anonymous with Danny Carlson?
There's a lot of relations. Okay, when we became Narcotics Anonymous in 53, it wasn't an up for grabs kind of thing. That's the name we decided on because we couldn't be anything else. We didn't want to be discriminatory. You know, we're non-discriminating addicts. We'd use anything you had. And so Addicts Anonymous really didn't work because of AA. NA, we wanted really bad. The problem with NA or Narcotics Anonymous was in downtown Los Angeles, there was a hotel painted all black with a great big neon sign over it that said NA. There was a lawsuit that ensued. Jimmy Kay, representing Narcotics Anonymous as a Type S corporation, sued them for copyright infringement and violation. We won. We're the holders, or what was later to become Bob Stone's group, were the holders. The court rested the case with us and gave us the use of Narcotics Anonymous only at that time because we had 12-step permission and 12-tradition permission from Alcoholics Anonymous. We got to use Narcotics Anonymous. But the building... I don't know who they were, whether they were some kind of treatment center. There was a lawsuit. We won. They lost. I want to say who cares, but there may have been a lot of... East L.A. didn't come in. There was a lawsuit there, but East L.A. didn't join Narcotics Anonymous as a group until after Bob Stone took over the World Service office. Yes, sir. Doug. The what? Oh, the original Baby Blue Tech. What do you want to know about the baby? We got the current edition works well for me. What do you want to, I don't know what you want to know about the baby blue tux. You see that guy sitting over your left shoulder? He's the one that got the notes for it. It was a culmination effort. After the meeting, I'm sure he'll be delighted to explain that to you. The baby blue text is the culmination of the World Service Literature Committee. Yes, young lady.
Good morning, I'm Jackie. I'm an addict.
Jackie, how you doing, girl?
Pretty good. In the book,
until I started to share.
In the book, Miracles Do Happen, or Miracles Happen, just came out about 3 years ago. They made a publication. And in that book, you have a 13th step. And that 13th step was God help me.
Yes. We had the 13th step when we created Narcotics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous would not approve the copyright unless we removed it. That's why it's not there. So, religion is for people that we're on a spiritual program, and that's where you need to be. So, the 13th step, I have never seen a miracle really happen except some of you keep coming back clean and sober. So when you get to talking about miracle, if the earth stops, reverses rotation and goes the other way and we survive that, that's a miracle. Other than that, once you come into Narcotics Anonymous, admit you're an addict and allow God to enter your life under the third step, just walk down the street. Just keep it going. You got to suit up and show up. Okay, I don't think I've been waiting years. If God's going to test me, I want him to test me with unmanageable wealth. I know I can handle it. I'm clean. Yes, sir. About a co-op? A co-op? I have to read your lips. I got drunk one time and took too many pills and went to sleep under a howitzer in Vietnam. When they let it go, I lost my hearing. I don't know what the hell happened. A co-op.
A co-op. An NA co-op.
Oh, Arizona group.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is a co-op down in Arizona of AA people and NA people that got together. And they formed this commune. It really wasn't a co-op. It's a commune. And Motorcycle Ray, the guy that 12-stepped me into Narcotics Anonymous, introduced me to this particular commune. I didn't want to go live in a commune. I went there because somebody said it was fun. I really don't even remember where it is. It's in Arizona somewhere. It's north of Fort Huachuca, but too close to the drug trade. So I got out of Dodge besides you. It's still there. Somebody said it was still there. One of the AA people that was high ranking was involved in that co-op, but I'm going to give you remember a guy named Jimmy Jones and a place called Guyana? He was one of our members as a great cocaine addict. He never made it. Yes, sir. Oh, bam. Who?
Hey, Len.
3 days into Narcotics Anonymous. All right, girl. In 1955, a guy named Bill Wilson, Wilson didn't run GSA New York. Wilson wrote a little IP, a pamphlet, that says, multiplicity of purpose will kill us. In Narcotics Anonymous, we adopted that same philosophy. Multiplicity of purpose will kill us. If you got a drug problem, we want to talk to you about it. If you have an alcohol problem that will trigger a drug problem, we really need to talk to you about it. But if you have a sex problem, sugar problem, baking powder problem, cigarette problem, I tried to start a Caffeine Anonymous meeting and nobody would show up. Okay? I'm hooked on chocolate, honey. You don't get near me with dark chocolate, you know. But multiplicity of purpose is going to kill us. If you want to talk, I don't. If you're really nuts, go to an NA meeting and ask about relationships. And then try to do what they tell you. I don't know anything about relationships. I came to Narcotics Anonymous because I had a drug problem. The sex and all that, I love you, darling, but I used to stand out in the parking lot, the meeting of Sex Anonymous meetings. Anybody want to slip? Who wants to relapse today? You know, that was the only way I was getting laid in NA. That. Yes, sir. Well, there is a movement underfoot by the movers and shakers, actually just interested people in Narcotics Anonymous who held positions, who hope by being elected back as RSRs and going up the ladder that we can get. There's a lot of literature that we need specifically, and that's going to happen, and I don't know whether that's going to happen in 2 years, 4 years, or whatever it takes. It took us a long time to get a basic text out there. It took even longer to get some of the material we're using today out there, until 1983, 84. You know, so there is a movement underfoot. People like yourself that have taken an interest, been elected, and said, hey, we got to do something about this. And it's happening. How are you going to get these archives out of, say, Atlanta? I have no idea. The best thing you can do is to go down there and read some of them. You've got Jimmy Kay's notes. You've got the notes of, there is a World Service Office. That World Service Office is directly responsible to us as a voting membership, and they better let that stuff go if we go there by committee and say, okay, we want to do this. It's our literature. It's our literature. I mean, they got nervous and scared when I came to Baltimore. We had no literature. 1981. We used to copy it on a copy machine. They went berserk. How are you going to solve that problem? Those people are in place, and they're going. There are people like you that are interested, that really want to know the truth, that want to know about the Bobby Earls, the Serenity Sams, the Don Zeilers, the Chuck Skinners, that want to know about that. That will eventually happen. If it happens in my lifetime or not, I don't know. I'm 60 years old and on the way out the back door. But it will eventually happen, and I hope that it does, because just because you're interested. Just because you need to know. Yes, sir.
Name's
Scott.
Scott.
And the early symbol of NA that was in color.
We had no early symbol of NA in color. The early symbol of NA is in black and white.
Miracles happen. It shows the NA with colored surroundings of like red, and apparently what I was told was that the colors symbolize like different.
The original symbol of Narcotics Anonymous is NA, and it's black and white. Was that way for years. The colors came later. So did the front of the medallion. And in fact, he's holding one up. Either that or he wants to go to the bathroom.
No, I have a question.
Yes, sir.
I'm holding a quarter, which is the most conservative or anything sexual.
I didn't say dick, and that's what I ride a horse down here at Ocean City. It's a stallion, and it has a penis this big. And when they walk down the beach, they fall sideways. Now I just lost the bet. Yes, Karen.
Matt, my name's
Mina. Hi, Karen.
And I heard you say there's a lot of anger and anxiety in this room. Mm-hmm. Not a part. When I in here that's Jimmy K fans, but I am.
He is.
And I need to make that real clear. And I was brought up in Narcotics Anonymous. My grand sponsor worked with Jimmy.
Yep.
And I've seen his writing and information that she has from Jimmy K's wife.
Fawn, yeah.
And everything.
Fawn.
And everything that you have said is totally opposite.
No, it isn't. Not
well,
really.
Let me just look. I have my hand up. Let me just say this. Everything, maybe not everything, but a lot of the things that you have said up there is so controversy of what I've been taught and of what I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tend to continue to believe my grand sponsor. So I just probably need to be quiet.
Jimmy was a good man. We needed him when we had him. We needed him when we had him. But that Fawn's okay. I love everybody in Narcotics Anonymous. It's going to work. It works how and why simply because we want it to, with honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. There's a lot of people that don't want the truth in Narcotics Anonymous, but I don't care. Is it really necessary? I think it is. You should know. Yes, sir. We got time for one more.
One more.
I was wondering, you talked about the history. You talked about the bottleneck. Where do you see Narcotics Anonymous and everything happening with the gender writing like his and him and God?
That's coming out very shortly. That's in the folks that are going through area service now in RSR. They will be writing your literature sometime in the immediate future. Most of the gender stuff is a carryover we brought with us, and we had no choice because that's the way that it was written originally. We couldn't change a lot of that, but it's going to change. It's changing now, and eventually that will occur in our new rewrites. There is a moratorium on when we can write another basic text. We made a lot of money on basic text. We sucked some money out of this fellowship, and I didn't agree with it. We were up to 5 editions, and we made a lot of money, but I got to look at it the other way. You know, we took a $9,000 a year corporation and turned it into a $9 million organization. So it's, nothing is for free. You know, I'm just very grateful to my higher power that Narcotics Anonymous was here when I needed them. Anybody else? We got to turn the meeting over.
One more.
Yes, sir. Yes. Oh, yes.
My name is Charles.
Hey, Charles.
I've been interested in the literature since I've been here, and I'm wondering if there's any way process or maybe that we don't know about collecting hold of all of our history being sent to a literature review committee so that we can get an actual account of our history. And is it ever going to be printed in one of our basic textbooks? You just said we have. We're up to 5 editions, and to my understanding, we have 6 coming out in 2006.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well.
Is anything being done with this? Basically, what I'm asking.
The world let it.
Actually, what the history is.
Yeah, the World Service Literature Committee has not surrendered. It's still working. It works all year long. Goes to convention. They're out soliciting, trying to get the information. They've been doing it for years. A lot of this stuff belongs to private individuals, and they won't give it up. As I understand it, one of the original copies of the basic text sold for almost $3,000 on eBay. So why would they, I don't know what that thing you're holding is worth, but it's got to be worth more than that. It's pre-basic text. So as long as there's money involved, that's what we tried to avoid. And we didn't do a very good job of it. But it's that information's being held by private individuals. We can't get it out of their hands. But the World Service Literature Committee is doing what it can. Unless you go about the business of suing people, and that's not our job. We had to do that one too many times, and that's going to end here pretty quick, I hope. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity.